I am Izell Robinson, Minnesota inmate number 210006. Today, I have a special guest that I'm going to be doing an interview with for you guys. My special guest today is my aunt. Her name is Rosie Wright, and she was formerly a member of the Army. She served our country proudly, and she also worked in corrections. So we're going to get several perspectives through these questions from her, and she knows a lot about me, of course, because she's my aunt. So I want to start off by saying thanks, Rose, for your service to this country, and would you like to introduce yourself to the people?
Hi, my name is Rosie Wright. I served in the United States Army for 9 years. Most of my time was spent overseas in Germany and Korea. I've worked for the Department of Corrections for 14 years, and then afterwards I went in the Department of Human Services, and now I am happily retired.
Okay. Congratulations. Thank you. The first question that I want to ask you is, what influenced your decision to join the Army, and how do you feel that the Army helped you?
Well, I was a young adult when I joined the military, and my mom, she was living, we were living in a housing project, and I saw how some of the other young adults my age were living, and I didn't like what I saw. And I didn't want to wind up like them. And I found myself, my life just going in circles. Going to school, stopping, working a job because I couldn't get a Pell Grant. And so eventually, my brother, my half-brother spoke with me about the military. And I joined the military for educational benefits and to serve my country. Before, I thought about getting into the Coast Guard. And that didn't work out because I wasn't a good swimmer. And so I joined the Army. And while I was in the military, I traveled all over the world and met a lot of people from different areas of the United States and across the globe. In the military, they teach you to get up, be where you're supposed to be on time, and to take actually. In a nutshell, they teach you to get set up on your own 2 feet and take care of business instead of procrastinating, because I used to be a big procrastinator. And and they teach you, you know, to be self-sufficient, make things happen.
Okay. So how do you think that experience was different for you living outside of the U.S. when you traveled those different places and lived outside of the U.S.?
Well, living outside of the U.S., like I said, I met a lot of different people from different walks of life, and I learned how to deal with different people with different personalities. Instead of frowning down on other people that might be different than me, eat different foods than I eat, and I learned to just observe and just, you know, experience the food and try out different things instead of frowning down and looking down your nose at other people and saying, you know, doing a yip thing. So I learned to accept a lot of people, their different ways, and because everybody's different.
Right. So what was the highest rank and accolades you received from the Army?
I was promoted to sergeant. That's an E5.
Okay. After the Army, you moved back to Chicago and chose to get a job in corrections. So what influenced that decision?
You know, actually, I was unsure of what I really wanted to do as far as that, but I had planned on not working, and I had saved up my money, and I was going to go get into the medical field because I've always wanted to be a nurse. But due to my disability, my counselor, he discouraged that. And I started dealing with civilians instead of people that have been in the rank of service that I knew because I was stationed in Great Lakes. and I started dealing with some of the old friends and stuff. And then eventually I got lazy and my ways started changing somewhat. And so it was like when I applied for jobs, it was hurting me informing people that I was in the military. And I kept getting doors slammed in my face. And the homeless man that I spoke with one day at the vet center, he gave me information about how to apply for a job at VA. And I went to see the VA counselor. And he helped me. And the first thing that opened up was corrections. And I jumped on it.
Okay. So what challenges did you experience working in corrections? And what did you learn from the experience?
You know, I was afraid when I first started working in corrections, to be honest with you, because I've heard so many ghost stories about the institution. But when I got there and I met a lot of the guys and sat down and talked with a lot of them, one-on-one mostly, I learned that they were no different than anyone else. And whatever crimes that they did out in the world, they wasn't locked up at the facility that I was at for murder or anything like that. Maybe they have done it out there, but they wasn't locked up for it at the facility where I was at. But I've learned that I met a lot of good people that made bad choices in life. Some, they didn't have a chance from a young kid because their mom wasn't in their life, their dad wasn't really in their life. And they had other family members that raised them and encouraged them and taught them bad behaviors. And so there was a lot of guys I met, and females, that all they needed was just a little love and a little guidance from young kids on, and they would have been okay. Now, there are some, they did eventually parole out, and by me talking to them and some of my other coworkers and their counselor, we piggybacked together and talk to some of the guys. When they did parole out, some of them went to college, they finished and got their degrees. Some have their own business right now. And matter of fact, there's two that keep in touch with me to this day. And I know the majority of the family members, so they're like a part of my family and I'm like a part of their family.
Okay, that's remarkable. So what do you think about the revolving door syndrome that they say, you know, inmates get out and constantly come back? And do you have an opinion about that, or did you see that? Or
a couple guys I've seen, they just kept coming back. There's some people, like some of the guys there, one in particular, he didn't want to be out. He wanted to stay in because he was institutionalized. He was used to someone telling him when to get up, when to eat, what to do. And he couldn't relate out here in the world because he had been locked up so much. And then there's this, like the other gentleman, he came back a couple of times. The system somewhat is designed not to really help them, in my opinion, as much. Cause say if a gentleman has a felony, he get out. He has that felony on his back. No, he's going to have a problem finding an apartment. He's going to have a problem finding a job. And then if he do find a job, it's not going to pay him very much. So eventually, he's going to keep running into brick walls. And
so
he's going
to hearing you say that your opinion is that the system is flawed because the system is more punitive than actually rehabilitative.
Exactly. So if the person doesn't have a real strong family connection and support, they're set up for failure.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel working in corrections and knowing that me, your nephew, have been incarcerated and going through the system in Minnesota?
You know, my heart went out, and I kind of get a little lot understanding with a lot of the guys that was in the facility where I worked. And then in some, you know, they didn't have family to come visit them like some of the others. And that's why I used to try to visit you as much as I could, you know, and myself and my mom. But then the guys that did not have family members to visit them, I try to give them a little bit more time of my time at the facility and try to build a more like a, kind of like a family relationship with them. And then like some of the other guys that did have family members and did have people put money on the books for them, I would kind of try to encourage them to be your brother.
Do you have?
The person that can help anything, try to help him out, and maybe he can do a favor. I cut your hair, or
I don't want to. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you here, but we're going to have to cut here and pick up with part two. So this has been part one of the interview with my Aunt Rose, and I hope who's ever listening has definitely been getting a lot of valuable information that they're learning and can use to help support the right of fight for criminal justice reform. And look out for part two. Thank you.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.